Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and I'm here with my look at the Sagittarius full moon that arrives on Saturday, June 3rd at 11:42 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. Actually set up a chart for Washington, D.C., which isn't where the rest of you may be, but it's fascinating considering that we have been going through a major crisis in this country having to do with whether or not we're going to find a way to get out of the debt crisis without harming everyone. And, you know, I don't want to get political. I'm just saying. That's what we're looking at. So, some people want to do that, and some people don't. Unfortunately, they're in control. And control is Pluto, in a lot of way of looking at Pluto. And it just so happens that the full moon for June 3rd, this full moon has Pluto right on the cusp of the ascendant in Washington, D.C., and who's going to win? You know, Pluto has been and is in the full moon chart a square aspect to the lunar nodes. We're coming out of, this is really the crescendo of our learning about South Node Scorpio versus North Node Taurus. Yeah, so the nodes are going backwards, and they're down to three. So they're actually, you know, approaching the Pluto energy because they're retrograde, and Pluto's retrograde. And what we do have, well, you may know, I will tell you if you don't, that the North Node is our evolutionary direction, whereas our South Node is something we have done a lot of, but not necessarily on the highest level of using that sign. So South Node Scorpio is about turmoil. It's about tearing things down. It's also about reforming, you know, by transforming. This is the big issue of Scorpio, is the transformational power. And, you know, but that is breaking something down to create something new. Well, you know, here we are. And this is also a financial axis, because Taurus is about conserving and holding on to and creating more of, you know, it's the sign of nature. It's a fixed earth sign that wants things to stay peaceful and strong, you know. So, yeah, well, we have been dealing with this issue, again, for quite some time. We'll be moving out of this year and into a different lunar node axis. So what we haven't learned is what's coming up. And usually, as an astrologer, I notice that we don't learn the whole lesson. I mean, it's kind of tricky because the South Node in Scorpio is in turmoil over how to use shared resources. Can you see the connection? I do. Total turmoil. Who's going to say how we should use them? And also, the North Node in the evolutionary direction is that place of being firm, steady, peaceful. And it is personal resources as opposed to shared resources. In this particular configuration, we had Mars join up when it got into Leo. Originally, it's moved past the exact opposition to Pluto and squaring both nodes, and that was a hefty day in the news and possibly in your own life. And what were we looking at? How do I preserve and structure and be steady without going to war with others and someone else, because Mars opposition Pluto is pretty intense. It was very intense. You know, that was a good day to stay home, you know, because people would be out there with this intensity, not knowing about what was going on in the sky and just reacting off of it. So here we come now without Mars involved. This is thank heavens for small favors. Although Mars is making some aspect that we call a yod or a finger of God, if you will, include the centaurs, you know, because what's happening is that the centaur Pholus, who has the lid come off in Capricorn and is also pay attention to your gut instincts, is in a sextile to Saturn in Pisces. So we're finding out, you know, the fears and the issues and the, you know, the victims of things, you know, that's coming. The lid is definitely off because, you know, we have seen a proposal for how, where to take the money from. And it's, you know, definitely pushing on the Saturn in Pisces, you know, excuse me, you're hitting the weakest of us all. So the lid is, you know, I think really way off. I can't imagine how it's not being seen. But, you know, and listening to gut wisdom is, you know, don't do this economy collapse, because it's not just us that will be affected. It's everyone. So again, in your life, in your personal life, you may be looking at something like that also. Something is being revealed, and something is asking you to listen to gut instinct. And then Mars is coming along and making a difficult aspect at 8 degrees Leo to both of these in the need to take the energy of Mars in Leo, which is courageous warrior, and allow that to be able to work well with this Pholus in Capricorn, and also work well with the Saturn in Pisces energy, you know, to make adjustments for what we want as the passion for our own personal kingdom, Mars in Leo, you know, our investments, Mars in Leo, our children, our creations, our self-expression, yeah, is having to adjust with these other planets. And we look to the opposite sign of Mars, which is Aquarius, which is where we find another centaur in closer aspect to Mars than the actual Pluto ascendant is, which is Chiriclo. Okay, Chiriclo is the wife of Chiron. I actually wrote a whole chapter on her that's supposed to come out soon in a collaborative book on the centaurs. And she is a phenomenal, phenomenal body to watch. Not always active. The centaurs and the asteroids are always doing something, but sometimes they come up into the spotlight because they're really affecting things. And what Chiriclo is about is a different level of Pluto. She's about the ability to hold the space for things to transform into something that usually is helpful for the identity that is making that transformation. So we could hope that since Chiriclo retrograde at the moment in Aquarius, the good of the group, maybe we could put some ideas out saying, okay, it's time for us. Time for us to look at the needs of all instead of just the needs of a few. this again in our own personal life as we're moving through this time, to be able to see the larger picture of the circumstance and how it affects the larger group energy, you know, our passion, our desire versus those things. So it's quite an interesting full moon. The polarity is Sagittarius, which is that please look at the big picture. And the sun in Gemini, which is getting lots of information and examining and analyzing. The moon in Sag is in a philosophical mode, an expansive mode. And the sun in Gemini is in a count the words mode. Yeah. And the sun is sitting with Juno, which is an asteroid goddess. So these are more active now than in some of the events I have been talking about. So Juno is about women's rights and partnership rights. And we're seeing that is also up for grabs. The Pluto in Aquarius energy is, and Chiriclo in Aquarius are energies that are looking at those unusual things that are part of our group that maybe we haven't been allowing to be observed. So we're talking about people who have different sexual identities, and I mean lots of them. So, you know, we're having the conflicts also about laws being passed, and with the sun with Juno and women's rights affecting also that area. So this is a big moment of focus. And again, in our own lives, when we have Venus in Cancer, right near the end of Cancer at 28 degrees, and she is trining Neptune in Pisces, so once again, nurturing. Venus in Cancer wants to make people feel emotionally secure through nurturing, and she is trying to vision with Neptune in Pisces a way of compassion, the way of compassion. Now, what's interesting is we have Jupiter in Taurus conjunct the North Node in Taurus. So we're expanding in a kind of desire for stability and conserving and preserving. You know, so we're hoping. And we have Mercury direct in Taurus now conjunct Uranus in Taurus. So I'm hoping that the momentum of this chart, which is pretty strong, is going to see this Mercury-Uranus. I mean, this is like taking Gemini and adding Aquarius to it, you know, like, okay, I'm going to get an aha about how we can logically and effectively, in a almost conservative way, but still change something for the better. Let's hope that's what it's working toward. And at this point, there really is, you know, not a lot of connect to that conjunction other than Vesta, another asteroid goddess, showing up. And what is she? She is the keeper of the hearth, the keeper of the flame. She's the one who will be courageously active for the things that she holds dear. So, very, very interesting time. You know, we're all going through it, right? And it's difficult adjusting. I mean, I'll throw in another centaur for you, which is Nessus, and he is the buck stops here. And we could be talking about literal bucks right now. And that's the only thing that is affecting the polarity of the moon and the sun in a challenging way. you know, to be able to bring the philosophy and the analysis together is the challenge. The buck stops here in what we have to do about this, you see. So this is an interesting thing, and Nessus is sextal, the Mercury-Uranus conjunction, and Vesta as well. You know, Mars in Leo is making a trine to the sun, to the moon, sorry, and a sextal to the sun. So having courage can help us get through this. And the polarity is moving away from the square to Saturn in Pisces. So it wants to hopefully reconcile the opposition again, once again, in a good way that will help everyone. So look at that in your own life. You know, we've come off a Memorial Day weekend. Coming into now the week after that, we've been around family and friends. Maybe we're traveling or want to travel. And even when we look at that, we're looking at world issues now. You know, a friend of mine in Italy, fortunately far enough south of the floods, but raining the whole time, and fortunately far enough north not to be involved with a volcano. I was going to say volcanic, which is why it ended up being volcano eruption in Sicily. I mean, you know, this is like a time when, you know, things are happening. You know, volcanoes are happening a lot more often, aren't they? So even in that realm, we're looking at the need to look at things and to do what's best for all. So I think that's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say now about this full moon. You know, wherever 13 degrees is in your natal chart is where the full moon falls and the polarity falls across to the opposite house. So that's a place that's going to feel this energy the most. And of course, since it's happening for us here, over here, at a time frame where people can actually go outside with their souped-up cameras, I see the most amazing photos, and capture the full moon, because it's 11:42 p.m. Eastern. So you'll be able to get out there and see it at its full point, its fullest full point. And even people at 10 and 9, and I guess 8:42 would be dark out on the West Coast, I'm not sure. Probably. But you know, we are galloping towards the time of the greatest light already. It seems like that's so amazing to me that we're already approaching that summer solstice, 21 of June. Not long, not far away, the peak of the light. So let's hope the peak of the light will inform the minds and hearts of all during the Sagittarius full moon. And I'll say goodbye for now.